I'm Jake Stauch, co-founder and CEO of Serval. We built Serval to automate the IT work that slows companies down. Onboarding, password resets, access to applications, my laptop stopped working. While employees wait for help, their real work is put on hold. IT desperately wants to automate this work, and that's why they need Serval. You just tell Serval what you want to automate in plain English, and it's built. No drag and drop workflows, no expensive consultants. Employees get unblocked, and IT teams go from drowning in tickets to building what actually matters. With Serval, IT becomes the AI engine powering the entire company. This is a new way to run IT. We guarantee you'll automate 50% of all tickets, and we'll prove it to you in a free 4-week pilot. Go to serval.com/tickets. That's serval.com/tickets.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we're back. And many of you have been inquiring about the health of Pastor Al Davis. I just talked to Al here just prior to the radio program. He's on the road to recovery. He may possibly be, here in the studio on Sunday night. But that, he's still recuperating, but he's hoping to be here Sunday night. So praise the good Lord. We need Al back on the radio, huh?
Yes.
All righty. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Mike. Where's Mike calling from? Cleveland. Hey, Mike, you're in the air.
Hi, Pastor. I got a question that they always say about being a Christian nation. And there was someone was mentioning something about that. What really shows that we were a Christian nation is the preamble of the Paris Treaty.
That was John McTernan, Chaplain McTernan. He speaks on that quite often. Yeah.
It talks about how that's where really we're sovereign because we were, and then it said that something about the Holy Trinity shows that we were a Christian. But it was in the preamble of the Paris Treaty.
I believe it was 1890. I believe Supreme Court ruled in 1890 that we are a Christian nation. They went before the Supreme Court, the U.S.
Yeah, I think what he was talking about is that was a 1783 or something like that.
Preamble, yeah.
The preamble in the Paris Treaty.
Yeah, we're referred to the Trinity, yeah.
Yeah.
But I know. And
I think that some of the founders signed it, I guess, like Franklin. There was two or three other people that signed the showing that we're a sovereign nation. And they try to say that we're never a Christian nation, but, from the very beginning we were. If you look at the different...
We were, but I don't know if we could call ourselves a Christian nation now. There's a remnant. There's a strong remnant today in America. But again, the church is so apostatized. It has gotten so far away from the real church, from the teachings of God's word
He's a black historian. His name's Chad Jackson. I don't know if you've heard any of his stuff, but he was showing how actually King didn't believe in four of the Christian strong beliefs, the resurrection and four different things that King never believed in. And he could show it through the writings of King. And what he was trying to say is that a lot of these mega black people, or big churches would always, instead of referring to like a scripture, they always referred to King. Well, King said, and King was basically what the guy was saying was, they were in, I think you've mentioned before how they infiltrated the civil rights through the communists and their Marxists. And even his main speechwriter, Stanley Levinson, was a communist, but he kept quiet about it, And I thought that was interesting how a lot of these big churches, they kind of use King as their icon rather than the Bible and Jesus and that. What's your take on that?
Well, I had Jerry, one of my very good friends was very close to Martin Luther King. He was with him in the very, very beginning, okay? And anyhow, what he told me was that in the very beginning, everything was on the up and up, and Martin Luther King was on the straight and up. And they were with him. Ralph Abernathy, okay, was one of them, and Jerry, they were together. He said, until the communists came in. He said, everything was on the up and up. And when the communists came in, they brought in the young girls and they brought in the drugs. And I asked him, who are the communists? And he said, Jesse Jackson, he referred to. And he said, everything changed and they were bringing in these young women to seduce. And that Martin Luther King's wife knew about it, but she tolerated it, okay. And put up with it, I guess for the ministry's sake, whatever. But that's all I can tell you.
Yeah. He was even showing, he had a picture of it, that famous quote about the color of your, or the character one,
yeah.
Something about the character and the dream speech. He was showing that Levinson, who was his dreamer, who wrote the speech, got that out of a 1989 Southern Journal newspaper. It's because the guy was using a similar quote. There was two factions of politicians were fighting, and he was using that kind of almost the same. And that's where they got that from, supposedly. He had a picture of the actual newspaper of that quote. But this Chad Jackson has a lot of good stuff on. He wrote the MLK, expose.
Yeah, I can't remember. I remember vaguely because it's been a lot of years back, but we had them both, Jerry Wilson and Ralph Abernathy here, and they both gave that testimony, what I was just telling you about there. So,
yeah.
But I got to move in, but thanks,
okay.
Mike. Let's go to Scott. Scott, you're in the air.
Yes, Pastor Sanders, I had a question and a comment about Sodomite Month here. And the sodomite rainbow, which I've heard you elaborate on many times. Let me first mention that, you know, ever since, like a lot of these sports, Major League and National League football, things went woke about 10 years ago with Black Lives Matter. They have these sodomite nights. They're having one coming up here down at Cleveland Stadium. And I want to tell you something. I quit listening and watching to any of it, any of the major league professional sports, because they've embraced, you know, it's gone from, as you know, it's gone from tolerance to acceptance to celebration.
Yeah, okay? You're right.
Now, first of all, I don't tolerate them because I don't associate with them. Therefore, I don't accept them, and I'm darn sure not going to celebrate them. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. It's anti-family. You've got children there. They know better. And, of course, there's money, a lot of money involved. But I wouldn't touch any of them with a 39-and-a-half-foot pole, I'm telling you right now. I don't even like going into the inner city of Cleveland. I live in Cleveland, but I don't go downtown for anything. I feel dirty.
I don't blame you a bit. There.
I just wanted to mention that. Regarding the sodomite rainbow, I've heard you elaborate many times that, you know, God's rainbow has seven colors and the sodomite rainbow has six. Mm-hmm. You know, if you notice, sodomite month is the sixth month of the year, okay?
Yep.
There's six colors in the sodomite rainbow, okay? But, you know, I got looking, you know, you walk around, you see the sodomite rag hanging all over the place. I got looking at it, and I said, well, if there's six colors and it's missing one color, what color is missing? Did you ever think about this at all? Do you know what the seven colors of God's rainbow are? in order?
No, I can't remember what.
Okay, there's a little poem. There's a little poem. I think I learned it in Boy Scouts. Richard of York gave battle in vain. Okay? Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. That's how you remember the order of the seven colors. Well, I got looking at the sodomite rag, and I'm like, okay, which one of those colors is missing? And I've come to the conclusion that it's the sixth color, okay, which would be indigo. Because if you look at it, you see blue and you see purple, so I'm going to say the purple is probably violet, and the blue looks blue. But there's an in-between color between blue and violet. It's the sixth color, and that's indigo. Now, I don't know why that color got the works, basically. But if you think about it, the sixth month, six colors, and the missing color is the sixth color, 666. I'm just saying, okay? I have no idea why indigo, I'm trying to research that a little bit and figure out why indigo got tossed out. So what do you think of it? Any of that?
I got no idea, but I know that six also is the number of man, so
right.
What we got is, yeah. Seven is the number of perfection, and so again here, the Bible has so many applications, and of course, the very first time that the word abomination was ever used was used to describe the sin of sodomy. And, you know, a lot of these people out there, you ask a lot of these people in the news media, they don't even know what sodomy is. Mm-hmm. And we had a guy that used to have a radio program. He was supposed to be a Bible teacher on this station, and he didn't know what a sodomite was. Mm-hmm. Okay, he was so, you know, into the world, these people, you know, today. And here, they've gotten so far away from the Word of God. See, this is why we try to hold to fast to the traditions of the apostles. We hold fast to the Word of God. The King James Bible is the inerrant Word of God. It is the inerrant Word of God.
Amen.
And so, and unless you don't believe what God said He could do, God said He would get us His Word pure without defilement. And those prissy preachers that say, well, it's got a lot of errors, they don't believe that God could do that, do they? And the vast majority of them really, really don't believe a lot of what God's Word, the Bible, teaches today. Dad's kept a small remnant. It's a very small remnant of real true Christians in the world today. But
amen, Pastor. But you know, back to my example, I'm trying to figure out why that particular color. I'm wondering if it has any significance in Scripture to, like, the suffering of Christ, because they wouldn't want anything to do with that.
Why don't you do this, Scott, because now you've got me interested. So
I know. I just kind of
keep after it when you find out.
Yeah, you'd be the first one I call. Thank you very much, Pastor.
All right, thanks. Very good. Okay, that phone number is 216-901-0933. I got no idea why that would be that color. Indigo?
Indigo. I don't know why that would have been dropped out.
Yeah.
All right. If you're out there and you're one of those people that know a lot about sodomite colors, let us know. All right. 216-901-0933. Phone lines are open. Richard, you got an article there?
Yes. This says, why cities like Chicago chooses criminals over law-abiding citizens. This is an interesting kind of a rant here with this fellow, but it says, why are our governors and mayors and major cities aiding and abetting criminals? How do those elected officials avoid prosecution, when citizens suffer death at the hands of those criminals? Where is the accountability? At what point does Illinois Governor Pritzker and Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson face criminal consequences for their corrupt behavior? Case in point, Sherrod Gordman, an 18-year-old freshman at Loyola University Chicago, was fatally shot on March 19, 2026, at Toby Priz Beach at the Rogers Park neighborhood. The suspect, Josh Medina, was a 25-year-old Venezuelan national who the Department of Homeland Security alleged is an undocumented immigrant. According to the report, Gorman was walking with friends around 1 a.m. when the suspect allegedly approached them while wearing a mask and armed with a gun. She attempted to flee, and she was shot and died at the scene.
Let me just stop you there, Richard, real quick, because we got the whole board's lit up. But, you know, what's happening, I tell you, these judges that keep letting these people back on the street.
Yeah.
They've killed people time and time. You know, you talk 30, 40 convictions. Those judges, when someone's killed, they should be sentenced and be a part of that. They should be and the prosecutor, too.
Right. And yes. That article is basically saying, and why are they keep electing these people that are doing this?
Yeah, because the elections aren't legal.
They're right.
So they can tell you exactly how many votes they're going to have before it even starts. All right, let's go to Vince. Vince, you're in the air.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. I believe it was yesterday you had a caller come in, and he was quite outspoken about bombing Iran or going into Iran. And I think you're in agreement with them. And I kind of raised my eyebrow. I said, thought to myself, how could someone be so pro-life but yet hate their enemy so much that you'd be a cheerleader to go into war in Iran?
Here's the reason. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. In Iran, they have people that are extremely corrupt tyrants. Very wicked people, Vince. They killed 60,000 of their own people. Those people in Iran, they're begging, they're asking, and that's just in the past couple of years. They're asking, they're begging, America, please come help us. You know, we want to have food. We want to have gas. We want to have electricity. We want water, okay? They're being held under by tyrants. That's the reason, okay. Vince.
That's not a reason to go to war. That's their problem. That's not our problem. Well, why is it our problem?
You know what? Here's the way I feel about it. I would agree with you if I were a lesser person, if I had less dignity, less honor, less integrity, if I were a coward. You see that? I'm teaching right now. I'm teaching style. When to shout and when not to. Are you picking up on this style?
I'll shout, but I'm going to be in agreement with Vince.
Okay, there you go. So, because if I were a coward, I would feel that way. If I had less honor, less integrity, less decency, if I felt like I was someone who could turn my and say, well, you know what? So what? So they've killed all these babies through abortion. Hey, that's not my problem. I'm not that baby, right?
Maybe Iran should liberate us then.
Yeah, maybe Iran should liberate us.
Well yeah, because we have a lot of Planned Parenthoods and we're killing babies left and right. They should liberate us then.
I want you to tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. Yes, don't lie. God knows if you're lying. You're a registered Democrat. Are you a registered Democrat?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
How can I believe you?
Well, I'll put it this way. I'm a strong conservative, but I hardly vote. I'm a strong conservative, but I'm not a neoconservative, if you know what a neoconservative is.
You're talking about a neocon.
A neocon, yes. I'm far from a neocon, but a strong conservative. I would probably align myself pretty much to maybe a Ron Paul.
All right. Well, believe me, we do. I feel if I would be a much lesser hurt human being, I would feel I would have to compromise everything. In other words, if I took that position, to me, the food I eat, it wouldn't matter to me whether or not it was clean or not. Okay, I wouldn't be that good a person to where it would even matter. That's how I feel.
What you say about Iran may or may not be true. These are probably news I'll let you get a hold of. But Jesus said in the last days there'll be wars and rumors of wars. I'm wondering if what you got was rumors.
No.
This information you got may have been rumors.
No, there's a lot of things happening in Iran. We've been talking about Iran for a long time. It's not just rumors. Let me explain to you the reason you don't get anything out of Iran. They don't have any internet. They're not allowed to get on the internet over there. Everything is very, very hushed up. But I got to move on.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, sure. All right. Hey, Vera, you're in the air.
Hey. Hello?
Hello, you're in the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was calling to find out if you knew anything about this. Well, in New York today, this is the first time I heard it, that they didn't pass the bill yet, but the Senate passed this bill saying that mothers and fathers can no longer be called mothers and fathers, that they're going to change the language so they can so sodomites and you know, other people, gay people or whatever. So they just sent this bill to Captain Hoker's desk today. So this is the first time I heard of it, but they also saying that they have passed this same bill in other states. Do you know anything about it?
Yeah, they're going with woke language, okay?
Okay.
They want to do it to where you can't use the genders. They don't want to use male or female genders. They want to use, I'm trying to remember the terminology, but it's insanity. Remember, God is not the author of confusion. The Democrats are.
Okay.
So
it's real. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I just wanted to confirm to see, because if anybody knew about it, it would be you.
All right.
So they just passed it to her desk, so I don't know what she's going to do about it. But most of the time I hear about this, but this is the first time. Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. Let's go with David. David, you're in the air.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm okay. Style got me going. Style authorized me tonight. Go ahead.
I wanted to comment, about sodomy and being a sodomite. You know, it's about 632 years after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. God said in Leviticus, mankind shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination, which means a detestable thing. So, you know, you've got these gay people that are walking around with these flags thinking that God's, you know, that the rainbow justifies them being gay. Well, what they forget is that 632 years later, God said in the Bible that it's an abomination and that he's going to destroy the world by fire. So they neglect that part in scripture that over 600 years later, God called it an abomination, and that the world is going this time he's not going to flood the world again, but he's going to destroy it this time by fire. And, you know, we also read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, that no drunkard, no reviler, no swindler, no homosexual. And that word in Greek is arsenokites, which means no homosexual will enter the kingdom of God. There is no such thing as a gay Christian. And also, just nature itself teaches you, without even bringing God into the picture who created us, nature itself teaches everyone that two people of the same gender are biologically incompatible. So, you know, my point is that these people that are going around with these rainbow flags need to realize, yeah, God's not going to flood the earth again, you know, by water, but he's going to destroy it by fire. And that those who are doing such abominable things, they're going to be destroyed along.
The rainbow is mentioned four times in scripture. It's mentioned there in Genesis 9 and Ezekiel chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 10. Every time it's for two things. First, it's God's judgment and mercy. Judgment and mercy, starting with in Genesis 9, where God, Genesis 6, where the flood came, he destroyed 8 billion people, okay, with judgment. Eight billion. That's about where we're at today. And the mercy came in with 8 that he spared. The mercy was 8 that he spared. So, there's a lot of things. That the signs of the times are there for those of us that can see it.
That's right. They are here, and, you know, we're getting closer and closer every day. One more comment I'd like to make about the King James Bible is that, well, the King James Bible was, they used all medieval manuscripts in that. That was used by, given to Erasmus and then edited by Beza. And he had access to some of the earlier manuscripts, like from the 8th century and earlier, but he didn't use them. But, you know, since we had those discoveries at Oxyrhynchus, Egypt, and other places, we've got a lot more knowledge about what those words mean, and also manuscripts that were much earlier, that some of which Beza did not use. And that's why there are things in the King James Bible that are not in the earlier manuscripts. When you go back and you look at the earlier manuscripts, there are things that do not exist in any of the earliest manuscripts, none of which that Beza and Erasmus used and that we have found. So the King James Bible is it's a good translation, absolutely. But now, because of these discoveries that we had in the 19th century,
when you had those 54 men that came together, that most of them never knew each other, and they put this Bible together. The King James Bible is far, far superior to all of these so-called perversions. And I truly believe that God did exactly what he said. I believe in Proverbs chapter 12, what he that it is pure, it's the pure word of God. And
I agree. And we have over 5,000, concerning the New Testament, we have over 5,000 manuscripts, and there is, and this is called textual criticism, which is where you differentiate between the different versions of, you know, the different, because, you know, there's uncial manuscripts, and then there's earlier Greek manuscripts, and it's up to textual criticism as to how you translate them and what you put in, what you take out. But when we compare all those, this is the amazing thing, is that between all those over 5,000 Greek manuscripts, there's only 0.1% of difference in the words. That means, for, you know, like people say, oh, it's corrupt. No, it's not. That means that there's only one word for every 10,000 that's different amongst those New Testament Greek manuscripts. But yeah, we have discovered a lot of things in earlier manuscripts that the editors and the makers of the King James Bible did not have, which is why we have newer versions. And I agree with you. There are some versions out there that are you know, especially the ones, the dynamic translations, which,
well,
you know,
the NIV had 64,000 words removed, less words than the King James. 64,000 less words than the King James.
That's the problem with these dynamic versions, is they are either right on or they're right wrong.
They have complete verses, complete passages of Scripture, removed, and so. But I got to move on. But thanks, David. Let's go
all
to
right,
Brian.
Thank you. Hey, have a good night.
You too. Thanks, Brian. You're in the air.
Thank you, sir. Is my call coming in clear?
Loud and clear, all the way from Texas.
I want to thank the Lord Jesus for giving you the strength and the energy, and your team for bringing this word across our great airways in the great state of Texas and across the U.S. And I ask everybody in this country to please stand up against this evil movement that's coming out of California, and the way that they're trying to change our great state of Texas. Stand up because for the Republicans, because they're all fleeing these other states because of their states are so turned left, and now they've moving into the Republican states, and they want to vote Democratic. And I please, somebody, don't do that because your state's already screwed up and it's Democratic. So if a Republican state's doing very good, like our great state of Texas, leave it as it is. And another thing is on the Iran deal, Pastor, I was looking something up, and as we know, we can't have another 9/11 in this country. And it says that the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and the Central Bank of Iran were liable for providing assistance and training to the 9/11 hijackers, and also a safe haven following the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan post 9/11. Once again, we can never forget 9/11. Hundreds of Al-Qaeda operators and their families fled to Iran, where they were given refugee. So once again, there's a reason they want to wipe Israel off the map. There's a reason for this, and the people in this country need to stand up and see the light of this and quit staying in the dark, Pastor. That's all I want to tell everybody, is stand up for what's right and quit going to the direction of the Democratic evil, Democratic devil worshipers. I want to say thank you for taking my call, but please, everybody stand up and fight against this. And if I wasn't right, why is everybody fleeing California? Thank you, Pastor, for taking my call, and God bless.
Yeah, over 1 million people have left there in the past year. Now, with me, though, the thing with Iran, those people have suffered a lot, okay? Yeah. And, you know, to tell me, when people are saying, you know, if I were the king, let me tell you, if they think Trump is... You know, so if I were president, I would make Trump look liberal, okay? Believe me, if I were there, I'd go to Nigeria. Those are brothers and sisters in Nigeria that need help. I would give it to them. I wouldn't turn my back. I couldn't look in the mirror if I did. I would go to Iran and help those people. They're begging. They've been begging. They've been out of gas. They're begging for natural gas. They're begging for water. They're begging. And people are telling me these are rumors. Okay, we'll be right back.
Now you've heard the story about the King of Kings, who was born of a virgin and above all things. Yes, he was, and he wasn't, and he is, and he's yet to come. And how he went to the desert and was tempted thrice by the serpent, who was Satan and the father of lies. How he did all the things that he did, 'cause he was Yahweh's own son. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So they hung him from a tree till he was crucified. Then they carried him and buried him in a tomb 3 days and three nights long. And with a bang and a clang and a great big boom, the angel removed the stone from the tomb. And when they all went looking inside, well, Jesus, he was gone. And now you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now as the Spirit moved and the church caught fire and the gospel spread through the Roman Empire, that old devil's old world order was turned upside down. It seemed the more that he martyred and he crucified, the more the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ was multiplied, until the gospel of the saving grace of Christ was finally spread the world around. All because there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now the Muslims say it's down to Allah bow. The Hindus pray they'll come back as a cow. The Orientals say only Buddha's the way. But what are they gonna say on Resurrection Day? Now the world's got leaders that are trying to lead, but the truth of the matter is they're all deceived, 'cause they've all got secrets in their past they're trying to hide. So when Satan steps up to make his deals, he threatens to tell all the other big wheels, so they all conspire together to save their own hides. But you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet.
And there never was, and you can take that to the bank. And let me tell you, Jesus said what? You're either with us or against us, right? He said those that are not. So, you know, today everybody wants compromise. They want to compromise. They want to, you know, let's take the easy route. We don't have to stand up. Forget, what is all this stuff? Integrity, honesty, dignity, that's all overblown. We'll just, you know, let's get along, go along, right? That's that's the mindset out there. Let's go with Pastor Hal, see if he's ready to. You ready to get along, go along?
No, Pastor, I just want to say that guy didn't seem to know what he was talking about when he was talking about Bibles. The Bible was completed around 96 A.D., and then it was made copies in Antioch, Syria. When the Jews got driven out of Jerusalem, they found peace that they could copy Bibles and everything else in Antioch, Syria. And so their manuscripts became known as the Antiochid manuscripts. And these things were copied with different people counting the letters, the words, everything else like that. These were perfect copies, and these copies is what the King James Bible comes from. And every modern version out there comes from corrupted Greek and Roman Catholic manuscripts known as the Vaticanus or the Sinaiticus, or maybe junk from the Septuagint. But the King James, God has perfectly preserved. And I think around 350 A.D., Constantine commissioned Eusebius, who was a Greek Gnostic, to make 50 counterfeit versions of the Bible, and they became known as the Vaticanus manuscripts, from which you get all the Catholic manuscripts, every corrupt version out there, and the Sinaiticus, which was a bunch of corrupt manuscripts found in a Catholic monastery with erasure marks in them, whole verses missing, and everything else like that. And like you said, the NIV, New Idiot Version, that omits 65,000 words from the King James, omits them, all verses and stuff like that. And all these modern counterfeit Bibles need the approval of the Catholic Church. Okay, that shows you know, they're how great they are. And so, oh yeah, and out of all the Greek manuscripts in existence today, 99% of them agree with the King James Bible. 1% don't agree, and they don't even agree with each other. So, you know, when God promised to keep and preserve his words, he meant it. Every word of that King James you can depend on. And, you know, and that's why all the cultists and liberals and people that hate Christianity, they all have one thing in common. They hate the King James Bible because they know that that's God's word. And secondly, you know, God says, thy words are spirit and they are truth. That's, you know, the psalmist said, thy words. That's the King James Bible. It's not the corrupt manuscripts. So if any Christian wants to read the word of God and get the Holy Spirit to, you know, feed them and bless them and everything else like that, they got to read God's word, not one of the counterfeits. The Holy Spirit isn't with that. So I just want to say that real quick. Stick with your King James Bible. You can, you know, depend on that. And that's the Bible that God loves and the devil hates. Go ahead.
There he goes. Guy's willing to compromise. All right. There you go. You know what, Hal, I got to tell you this. Now, Richard, you know, because you were with me 50 years ago, you know, way back. But in 51 years on the radio, I've had to do at least, I would say, at least close to 100 programs on the King James, on the different Bible versions over the years. Bruce Musselman used to come on with me on a regular basis, and we would go through, I mean, study on the Bible, King James Bible versus all of the New Age versions of the, Peter Ruckman also, I had Peter Ruckman on here with me, probably, and I'm trying to think of how many others, I think Henry Morris, okay, but I can't remember, but anyhow, folks, the King James Bible is far superior to all of the others, okay? Do we have an agreement with that, Richard?
Absolutely.
If Richard says so, you know,
100%.
You know it's got to be true.
I had interviewed Gail Ripplinger a couple times on your station.
We've had her on here I don't know how many times, too, over the years. She was a good
what
friend.
What a brilliant lady. She's really a scholar, and some of the books that she's written just supports, documents everything for you. I mean, it's...
Absolutely. But, you know, what happens is when you get going in that direction, you get off track like what we're doing in the lightning rounds, and that will be always be one of those topics that will get you going in that direction. But the King James Bible is far superior, and that's that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. You can hang there if you want, Hal.
Okay, I'll hang up.
Let's go with the. Let's go. I said you could hang there. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
For you to stay on there.
Let's go with John. John, you're in the air.
Yeah, John in Lakeville, Minnesota. Good evening, Pastor. The gentleman about 30 minutes ago, he was just talking about the rainbow flag having six colors as the LGBT. You used it, and he was wondering about the missing color, and the only thing I could think of is the Lord's clothing that the Roman soldiers drew lots for. There was a color of that, and there was like it was considered very nice, right? So they didn't want to tear it up. So I don't know if that's indigo, or I thought indigo was blue, and I know this doesn't necessarily mean a lot. I thought it was kind of an interesting point because I do think that the evil genius side of the LGBTQ has a lot of this stuff. It's not accidental, right? They have a lot of useful idiots in their protests, but behind all that, I think there are reasons for everything they plan.
Well, they plan to mock God, and they've been doing that, God is not mocked, and I'm going to tell you, they're going to be in for an extremely rude awakening. That will happen, okay? And the Lord Jesus...
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. I don't know if the Lord wore a color like that. I don't know enough about my scripture. If your guest would give his opinion, I've been using something most of the time called a New Jerusalem Bible. And I don't know. I mean,
I would go to the King James Bible.
Okay. I'll check it out. And then the last thing I wanted to say is I can't remember the topic you were on in the last 30 minutes, but the pastors that I think are good in the Catholics are Bishop Strickland, who stuck up, who marched with the people in the Los Angeles Dodger Stadium 2 years ago when they were mocking with this LGBTQ group that called themselves the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. And then the Vatican canceled him and took him out of his Tyler, Texas church. They also canceled Cardinal Mueller in Germany, who's trying to stop the sodomites there. And then they also demoted Cardinal Burke, who's in La Crosse, Wisconsin, who spoke up against the sodomites. And then they keep this Ribnik art from the Jesuit up at Our Lady of Lourdes, where we believe the mother of our Lord has given us some messages. So I found 1 in 3 pastors in the Catholic Church are good shepherds, but they keep canceling the Good Shepherd. So I don't want to get into too many controversies right now, but, when those priests like Strickland stuck up for the respect of the honoring our Lord, he was in the parade that protested those Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, which were basically sodomites that the Los Angeles Dodgers allowed to, celebrate a year ago, June, in the Dodger Stadium.
Well, John,
let
me
just... And they fired them.
Yeah, well, listen, I can tell you a number of them, okay? I headed up the first Operation Rescue here that we had in Ohio, and we had at that time a number of Catholic priests that were involved in the pro-life, and a lot of them were silenced. When I went there into Toledo to speak out there at that conference, they had, and there was two Catholic priests on a podium, but they were not allowed. Their bishop wouldn't let them speak, but many of them were defrocked. Because why? Because they actually believe the word of God, okay? And
yes.
And you have a situation. Right now, today, I was there right in front of the Communist Party headquarters there in Newberry. And here, they had a big poster on there, and the poster said, "Listen to the Pope." In other words, and it was talking about being at odds with what President Trump says, okay? So listen to the Pope and be anti-Trump. Right there in the big window of the Communist Party headquarters. So there you go.
The last two popes have been the only popes that have they've tried to cancel the idea of a just war theory, and it's been a punch in the stomach since Pope Francis and now with Pope Leo trying to continue to be a Catholic. But on an honest note, I tried 13 churches and I did find a good shepherd in the Catholic faith. But yeah, I even got pushed out from a church that's got a reputation as being traditional. Once I tried to find out, why did Bishop Strickland and Cardinal Mueller and Cardinal Burke get demoted? And why did Rybnik, who does all the sacrilege and the sacrifices to the devil with nuns, and then with his artwork that's put up at Lourdes, why does he get promoted and reinstated?
Well, it's obvious there's a lot of corruption in the Vatican, but I have to go because we're running out of time. But thanks for calling.
But just one real quick is, you know, you can just be a Christian. You don't have to be associated with any group, denomination or Catholicism or anything else. Just be a Christian. Believe the Bible and the Bible alone. You don't have to be labeled something else.
Right. Denominations are not biblical. They do not. God never gave us denominations. That was one of man's inventions, and it's been a total failure, hasn't it?
So just be a Christian.
Yeah. That's what it is. That's what you're saved or you're lost. If you're a born-again, Bible-believing, you're a Christian, okay?
Yeah, don't label yourself. Don't think you have to follow some group. Just follow the Bible, follow Jesus.
Amen. Okay. Yeah. That's exactly what we're going to do. And you know what it's what time it is? We're going to start with you tonight.
Okay.
And then we're going to move right over to you,
all right.
Randy. And it's time for you guys. I could have kept Hal here, get him in, but he took off on me. So go ahead and tell the folks how they
can. We're talking about salvation, folks, and the whole idea is that there's only two places you're going to end up when you shed this body of yours. It's called heaven or hell. And most people want to go to heaven. And the point being is it's very simple, but you have to believe. You have to believe in who Jesus Christ is. The most important thing understanding is that we are sinners and we can't get to heaven by ourselves, because the scriptures tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we need somebody to take care of that sin problem that we have. And Jesus Christ came to this earth by the Holy Spirit making a virgin, that would be a woman that never had a relationship with a man before, making a virgin with child. She brought forth a man-child, named him Jesus. He walked a perfect life. He died on the cross and shed his blood for our sins, each one of you. And he, not his sins, because he was perfect. He did not sin at all. And I just got done saying that we are we inherit that sin nature from Adam. Well, that's why God was his father. Almighty God was his father, because that way he didn't inherit that sin nature from Adam. And he died on the cross, was buried, and after 3 days rose again and lives today. And that's the key. He lives today, and if we put our trust in him, we can go to heaven. It's a belief system and a belief only.
Amen. One of the things tonight that's really coming across is the fact that we have to understand that God is a spirit. And as Jesus told the woman at the well, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And there was a group of religious leaders, if you would, that believed by searching the scriptures that that was the thing that was going to grant them eternal life. And he looked at them and he told them, you know, you search the scriptures, for in them ye think that you have eternal life. He said, but them scriptures right there that you don't understand, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, he said, they testify of me. And you don't know the Father, you don't know the character of the Father, you don't know his spirit, and you're missing him. And that's why you can't even see me, who is standing right here before you. And so understand this, because this thing about which Bible, this, that, and the other, listen, you can get caught up into all of that. We need to understand, and I believe it was mentioned even just the other day, there is so much that Jesus did that the word says that if it were possible, they don't believe that the world could contain all of the books from what Jesus did. So you accepting him is by faith, just like he told Thomas. He told Thomas, he said, oh, doubt, we call him Doubting Thomas. He said, well, you believe me because you've seen me, and because you put your hand in my side and in my hands and all that. He said, but he said this, and this reigns true to today. He said, but blessed is the one that believes in me and yet has not seen me. And so if that is you tonight and you're wondering, I don't know what version, I don't know what. Listen, if you can listen to his spirit, you feel that tugging. The Spirit is leading you and will let you know that God is real, that Jesus is real, and it is by faith, and it's by faith alone. So if you want to put your faith and your trust in Jesus, just like the thief who died on the cross next to him, he didn't pray a long prayer. He just said one simple thing. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied back to him, this day will you be with me in paradise. Go ahead, Pastor.
Amen. Well, I just wanted to say, you know, the Bible says that the Lord, he's a man of war. And here in Zechariah, he says, then shall the, verse 3:14, go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and on the Mount of the Olives shall cleave in the midst, therefore, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great nation, and a valley in the great valley, and half of the mountains shall remove towards the north and that towards the south. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, and the valley of the mountains shall you flee. As Azael, you shall flee. Well, I want to just say this here, because and then the Lord will come with all of his saints. God will come back with all of his saints. The Lord Jesus, you want to be one of those saints. You want to come back, be coming back to that. And God will stand and fight for his people.
Yes.
And that's why I take my position that I do there in Iran, because our people there are begging for help, and not just Iran, but in every nation,
right.
Even here. Okay, we're out of time, so good night.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless.
And always, 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 always. Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's right, what's left,
hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.